please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, Luke chapter 11. Apologize to Malachi. I said he was nervous because I was calling by his brother's name, John, the whole time. I appreciate him being a good sport. And so it is a big thing when you recognize the Lord has saved you and you will be obedient in all ways, especially that first obedient step in baptism. And it's very important to recognize that and do that. And hopefully we'll have more to follow as we think about what the Lord has for us. I like the book of Luke, Luke chapter 11 especially. The whole book of Luke is really about prayer in one sense. It speaks about a lot that Jesus prayed. If you remember the last few chapters, especially chapter 10, we find some interesting things there. If you remember chapter 10 where the lawyer comes up and says, Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And he says, well, you tell me. And he says, well, the law says, basically, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your strength, and neighbors yourself. And Jesus said, do this and live. And then he goes into the story of the Good Samaritan. And so really there's a picture about doing for the Lord. And then at the end of the chapter 10, you recognize that there's a sense of coming back, and it's not just about doing, it's about being. And there's the story of Martha and Mary. And really the idea of Martha was doing, kind of complaining because others were not. And really Jesus chides her and says, Mary, who was sitting at the feet of Jesus, has done the best thing. And so we're kind of had that balance of, yes, we do serve, but we do serve for the right reasons. And really what's so important about chapter 11 is it brings us to a point that we can't physically sit at the feet of Jesus as Mary did, but through prayer we surely can, and we can find a strong relationship. So let me read to you as Jesus speaks on prayer in chapter 11. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. We also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from withal shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though, he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son asks bread of any of you that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish for a fish, will he give a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, especially for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and simply seek your face. And Lord, we recognize that you're a good Father that loves us. And so, Lord, today I pray that we would be a people that cling close to you and that we would be a people committed to the act of prayer so that we may further our relationship with you and our fellowship. So, Lord, today just use these words and this scripture to convict our hearts. Use us to be a people that when we leave here, a people of prayer. Thank you for your promise that when your word is preached, when the word is read, I should say, that it will not come back void. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I heard about a revival going on, and the preacher was preaching up a storm, and lo and behold, he said, if there's anyone here that needs prayer at the end of the service, I want you to come forward. Well, the service got through. Guy came up and said, I need prayer. He said, well, what can I pray for you about? He said, well, I need to pray about my hearing. And so the man said, oh, that's fine. The preacher took his finger and stuck it in the man's ear, put his hand on his head, began to pray and pray and pray and pray. After about 15 minutes, he pulled his finger out and said, how about your hearing? How's it now? He said, well, I'm not sure. My hearing's not till next Wednesday. So sometimes we need to know exactly what to pray for. Sometimes we recognize that there is power in prayer, but we must pray for the right things at the right time. And so Luke chapter 11 is really about that. And we need to understand how powerful prayer is. And it is for us as believers to really use that to edify the Lord above. So the first thing I'd like for you to see in this particular passage is the desire of prayer. Let me say again, prayer is the essential things for the believers. We must pray. And if we fail to pray, our relationship with the Lord will not be as it should be. And so we're going to find that Jesus was a man of prayer, and he made an impact on those around him, and so can we. So we find, first, there is the example of prayer, the example of prayer. Verse 1 again says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. And so we're going to find there that Jesus was a man of prayer. Matter of fact, in this first little bit, there's two examples that we find of people praying. One is Jesus, which I'll get to. The other is going to be called John the Baptist. And we're going to recognize the disciples noticed John as a man of prayer. Now, it's interesting to look at John just for a second. John was a tremendous preacher. He was a fireball preacher. He was a man that looked the part, and he was very unusual. Matter of fact, we find in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, that he had a miraculous birth. He was born with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. That Spirit came upon him. Secondly, he was privileged to introduce the Messiah to Israel, and yet we're going to find that he had to pray. And matter of fact, Jesus would say he's the greatest of the prophets, and yet here's a man that still needed to pray. The reason I mention that, if John the Baptist needed to pray, how much more should we? Secondly, the example is Jesus. We recognize here that Jesus prayed. Now, notice what it says first. I want you to kind of get this out of the way. It says that he prayed in a certain place. Don't get caught up in the idea that you got to go to a certain place to pray. Yes, I know there's the prayer closet, but here, this certain place is just a word that John likes to use. Matter of fact, when you look at the book of John, John used the word certain 44 times. He used it in every chapter except chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. So he just likes the word. Matter of fact, let me give you a few examples. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 says he names a certain priest named Zacharias. Luke 5:12, a certain city. Luke 5:17, a certain day. Luke 6:2, a certain Pharisee. Luke 7:2, a certain centurion's servant. And so we just recognize that he just used that word to mention some particular place. For we'll find Jesus praying in a whole bunch of places like we can ourselves. We find in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, that he is praying at the river. In Luke 5:16, he is praying in the wilderness. Luke 9:15-18, he is praying at the lake. And by the way, if you always go to the lake and pray instead of coming to church on Sunday, I'm going to worry about your prayer life just a little bit. He prayed in different places, and so should we. We recognize how important it is to pray. We find him in Luke 6:12 praying in the mountains. And so we find that he was a man of constant prayer. Matthew 14:23, this is Jesus again, that he prays in the evening. And then in Luke 6:12, he continues in prayer all night. So we find that prayer was a big part of Jesus' life in private, but also in public. And we should follow that same example. We recognize that he prays in public many times, but especially like in John chapter 11, And that idea when he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he prays that others could hear him. And so we should be a people that follow those examples and be a people of prayer. Yes, again, we must have our prayer closet as we find in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But we also recognize that we should be a people that lead others in prayer, and we need to be found faithful to that calling. And so getting back to Jesus again, this thought, why does Jesus pray? Remember, he is a man, and he's the God-man. But he humbled himself like us. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he became took on the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And so Jesus uses prayer as we do to connect with the Father above. He relies on prayer for his connection, and the disciples knew that. And so he's a great example of prayer. But secondly, notice this, not just the example of prayer, but now the eagerness of prayer, the eagerness of prayer. Again, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Teach us to pray. Now, it's pretty interesting that, again, when you think about it, teach us not to do miracles, not to preach, not to cast out demons, but teach us to pray. How good it is when they recognize the importance of prayer. And I think that same thought should be for us today, that we should recognize the need in our life to pray. When we recognize that we are lacking in this, when we are needful of this, it helps us to recognize that we truly want to be like Jesus, a people of prayer. So what does a strong prayer life do for us? It does two things. Well, it does a bunch of things, but really one, It gives us a connection to the face of God. It gives us a connection to the face of God. Prayer is a personal connection to the Father. He would say, "Our Father." There's a certain kind of connection with the Lord that only comes by prayer. And I love our first interaction when you think about our first time with the Father. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that idea of calling is a simple prayer calling out to the Father. So prayer connects us to the Lord above. Now, truly, you can connect yourself to the Lord in worship, as we've done this morning. You connect yourself to the Lord by reading of His Word, which we do daily. But in some of those ways, that can be taken away from you. They can stop public worship. They can stop the reading of the Word by taking away Bibles, you may say. But they cannot rob you of prayer. You can take prayer any place and any time and connect to the Father above. We need that connection. What would happen if you quit talking to your spouse or talking to your kids or talking to your employer or talking to your employees? If you don't have that connection, something will be lacking. And yet so many times we fail to talk to our Father above as we should. Sure, we may still have a relationship, but it would not be as good as it could be. Communication is a strong key when it comes to relationships. And that same thing is the idea when we connect to the face of our Father above. But it goes much more than that. The connection to the face of God is good, but also there's the connection to the force of God. When we pray, we enter into this covenant with the Father above, and remember that God can do all things. He has all power and ability, and that connection is made when we pray. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Let me say that again. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It has nothing to do with the man, for man has no power, but it connects you to the one who has all power. By prayer, things happened. By prayer, mountains are moved. In Matthew chapter 17, it says in verse 20, "And he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." And so we find that through prayer, we find the force of God, that God does mighty things. He changes people's lives. He heals them. He blesses. And so we should seek the power of God that can do all things. We recognize those by reading the Word of God, and we also understand the disciples recognized Christ's great power to the Father above. I wonder today, will we truly seek the Lord above? Will we be a people of prayer? And so the question is, will we commit ourselves today to pray as we should? I'm reminded about Daniel. Before I move on, let me just read this. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." We know the story of Daniel, but we recognize clearly that Daniel was able to overcome all these things because he was a man of prayer. He had a connection with the Father above. I wonder, do we truly have that desire as the disciples did? Let that be our desire today. Secondly, not just the desire of prayer, but now there is the design of prayer, the design of prayer. So verse 2 says this, "And he said to them, when you pray, say..." Jesus will give them some practical things on prayer. Now, I really want you to recognize that this is a model prayer. This is a prayer that is to be used to kind of formulate your own prayers. It is not to simply be repeated as just a good look charm. Matter of fact, we recognize in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, if you've ever learned the model prayer here, you probably learned it out of Matthew. But before Jesus gives that model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, here's what he says. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." And so what Jesus is not saying is, repeat this prayer exactly and you will be blessed. No, just use this as a model to use to gain a closer relationship with the Father. So notice how the model begins. We must pray with adoration to the Father. We must pray with adoration to the Father. We are to pray with adoration to the Father. He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, we do recognize he is our Father, and he is a good Father. I like the Psalms when he said, Psalms 103, verse 13, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passed over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall we know no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and is righteousness of the children's children. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We recognize our Father truly loves us. But we also recognize that he is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He said, hallowed be thy name. And that word means to reverence, to give honor to recognize who he is. You know, we like to define God in many ways. As a matter of fact, the world today really likes this idea of love, and God is love. The Bible says so clearly. But when we begin to understand the Bible, it really points to who God is as far as being a holy God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, we find something interesting. It says, and the four beasts, and each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes, and they rest not night and day, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Never in the Bible do we find somebody or something saying God is love, love, love. But we do find them saying holy, holy, holy. Our Father is holy. His name is above all names. And Jesus said, start with that. The psalmist said this in Psalms 81. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. How excellent is thy name. And yes, his name is sacred, his name is honorable, and we should be faithful to lift it up. One of the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And so today we recognize it is a holy name. Now you would say, well, I would never take his name in vain, but I wonder today, would you live in such a way that honors his name, that it lifts up his name? And so as we pray, it must be done with adoration. Secondly, we must pray and ask for our daily needs. We must ask for our daily needs. Verse 3 says, give us day by day our daily bread. Now, Jesus knows what we have need of. The Bible is clear about that. He knows all things. Matter of fact, you can read some other scripture that speak about him knowing those things that we need. But we are to ask for our necessities. This is not a demand. It is simply a request. It is done with a thankful heart. There is nothing worse, in my estimation, probably than an unthankful child or an ungrateful child that demands something from their parents. They have done nothing to earn it. They have done nothing. They just demand things, and it is not good. So let us not be like that. Let us be a people that are thankful, that recognize the goodness of God, and that we ask for our necessities, our daily bread, given day by day. But not just a request. In our asking, there is a recognition where the provision comes from. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's a promise from God that he will deliver. But in our prayers, when we ask, we're recognizing and saying that God is the one who delivers. God is the one who provides. God is the one who gives those things that we need. How good our Father is. The psalmist said in Psalms 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, they shall not want any good thing. Oh, how good it is. And so we should ask in prayer for the things that we need. What things are that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are to ask about all things. If you need it, simply ask the Father above. You say, I do have to pray about everything. Sometimes prayer may be laborious, you may think. Sometimes you may not understand, and so it's difficult to pray. But when we're motivated, when we understand the right things, it is easier to pray. Matter of fact, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself when I'm maybe in a dangerous situation or there's illness or there's hardship or dispute, I readily pray. I eagerly seek the Father. I want to come before his presence. I understand his goodness and need his help. Let that be on a daily basis, not motivated by fear or hurt or whatever, but motivated because God is good and desires to have a fellowship and relationship with you. And so before I move on, are we a praying nation? Are we a praying county? Are we a praying church? Are we a praying people? Are we praying for the things that God wants to give us? We should ask for our daily needs. But there's this third thing we ought to look at. Not just praying with adoration, and we must pray and ask for our daily needs, but thirdly, we must pray about resolving our altercations. We must pray about resolving our altercations. Notice verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. He's going to use a couple words here. One, sin, that's harmatia. And there's a good way to recognize that. It's a good explanation. It's missing the mark. God has a perfect plan for your life, and when you miss that mark, that is sin. And yet we find that we need to be forgiven, and we want to be forgiven. And the Father is willing to forgive and ready to forgive. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I say today, if you messed up, if you blew it, if you made a terrible mistake, if you made a little mistake, and it affects your relationship with the Father above and your fellowship with others, I'm telling you, there is forgiveness in the prayer of Christ. When you call upon His name, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our unrighteousness. All unrighteousness, it says. And so today, if you need that prayer, it is freely given you an opportunity that you can call upon Him. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to God, to the Lord. And He will have mercy on him and to our Lord God, for He will abundantly pardon. The Lord is ready to forgive when we call out in prayer. We all want forgiveness, but we also need to be a people that forgive. He says in verse 4 again, and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. We were reminded in the book of Matthew that we should not only want to be forgiven, but we should forgive others. Matthew 6, 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We recognize that we have sinned against others and others have sinned against us, and that we surely should forgive them. Now, he used the word indebted here. That means to be indebted because of some moral sin or some immoral action against you. And again, we recognize that sin breaks our relationship with others. And so we should be willing to overcome that. As the Lord has forgiven us, so we should forgive others. Sin is abundant in our life. Matter of fact, James chapter 4, verse 1 says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come not even of your own lust that war in your members. And so selfishness really does something to us. It breaks us apart and causes sin. And we should recognize that we need restoration with our fellow man. And again, Ephesians 4, 32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Again, we need that restoration, not just to the Lord, but to our fellow man. And it is important to see, because those things in our life affect our prayer life. When we have issues with others, it affects our life when it comes to our Father above. Matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 will tell you that if you have a dispute with your wife, it hinders your prayers. And then Matthew chapter 5, something unusual is said in verse 23. It says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, you're going to have a time of worship and prayer. And remember, thy brother has aught against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gifts. It is important that we pray about our sin and the sins of others that have been committed against us. It's important to reconcile our relationship with our Father above, of course, but also with our fellow man. So let me encourage you to be faithful to do that. Pray about that and see where the Lord leads and guides. Well, there's another thing we should do. We must pray with adoration. We must pray and ask for our daily needs. We must pray about resolving our altercations. But fourthly, we are to pray so we advance in the right direction. So we advance in the right direction. Again, verse 4 says, forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us. We recognize that we want to be led by the Father in the right direction. not to the way that will cause issues, but a way that will honor the Father above. James reminds us in James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so we recognize that James says, God's not going to lead you wrong, so we need to be led the right way, and that's through prayer, asking the Lord to help us to make the right path and lay that path for us clearly. And so it may be in your life today that you're facing some choices about your life, some things that will be a big deal. It may be about a relationship that you're fixing to enter into, or one that you're fixing to quit. It may be about a job opportunity that you're pursuing. It may be a purchase that will affect your family. You should pray and seek the wisdom of God and recognize that God has a plan that he wants you to accomplish. Isaiah recognized that. Isaiah writes these words about the Lord above because of his great wisdom. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so all I'm trying to say today is, trust the Lord, seek him in prayer, ask him to direct you, let him guide your paths, and your life will be much, much better off. Seek the Lord today and see what he wants you to do. So let me ask you this before I move on. Will you commit to being a person of prayer? Will you start by acknowledging that the Lord is good and greatly to be praised? Will you seek him for your provisions? He will surely provide. Will you confess your sins before him and ask for forgiveness? He will surely forgive. Will you seek to forgive others and restore those relationships? God will truly bless. Will you ask for wisdom in your decision-making power to lead you on the right path? If you will honor God, he will surely honor you. Well, here's the last thing I'd like for you to see. Not just the desire of prayer and the design of prayer, but now there is the delivered prayer. And we're going to find something amazing there, that God always answers prayers. So notice first, there's the promise of an answered prayer, the promise of an answered prayer. In verse 9, we find this. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. When a believer prays in the right way, there is an answer promised for the Lord or by the Lord. But there are two things required. One, we must ask in Jesus' name. Go all the way back to verse 2. It says this. At the end of that verse, it says, thy will be done. When we pray, we're praying in the will of God. Now, Jesus said a little different in John chapter 14. He said, and what shall you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And what we find in Luke chapter 2, when it says, thy will be done, that we're asking for the Lord's will to be done in our life. So many times we are asking for our earthly will to be done in heaven, when we should be asking our Heavenly Father's will to be done on earth. And so we must ask in his name. Secondly, we must ask in faith, believing that God is able and God is willing. James says this in James chapter 1, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, speaking about prayer, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven within, tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so we ask in the will of the Father in his name, but we also ask believing that God is surely able. And so the Lord always answers. And you've heard me say this before. He answers with a yes sometimes, sometimes with a no, and we see that with the Apostle Paul and others when they asked about different things. Matter of fact, he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times, removed this, and three times God says no. Sometimes God answers with a slow, that is, lo and behold, that wait a little bit. It's not the right time or right place. Hang in there. I'm going to give it to you at the proper moment. And sometimes it's whoa. It's better than you asked, better than you can imagine. And so God always answers prayers. Yes, no, slow, or woe. Let me remind you, there's some out there that call it a name it and claim it prayer. They say, just name it and claim it. Well, God's good, but let me just tell you, there's sometimes that God doesn't answer the way you think. God always answers in the way that is best for his honor and for his glory. And so we must trust in that and recognize there's a promise of prayer. And then we find not just the promise of prayer answered, But the picture of an answered prayer, the picture of an answered prayer, we're going to find two examples given. First, there's going to be a faithful friend. When you read Luke chapter 5, verse 8 says this. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, it says this. And he said to them, which you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and have nothing to set before him. And he shall from within answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, but my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And so Jesus reminds us that we should be a people that persistently pray, that we should pray and not lose heart, that we should pray and seek him. Matter of fact, when we get to Luke chapter 18, we're going to find another similar story about a judge being worn out by a woman that comes and asks him continually about something, and he answers that request. And so our Father above, when we persistently pray, he will truly answer. Secondly, he answers as a faithful father. Verse 11 says, if a son asks bread of any of you, that father, will he give him a stone? Or ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so we're reminded that the example is, as a father gives good gifts to their children, earthly fathers, sometimes they're not the best fathers, but they give because of the fathers. How much better is that heavenly Father who is all good, who's all gracious, give to his children that ask him? And look what it says. He gives us the Holy Spirit. That's the one that leads us and guides us and helps us in all our ways. And so today, will you be a people of prayer? Will you seek him and take the time to do that? Will you pray today seeking God's will for your life? Will you pray today knowing the Lord will answer? God wants to do much in your life. Start that by calling on the name of the Lord. I found this poem that I'm not sure who the author is, but it says this. Because so many times we lack prayer because we're too busy. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me. With heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see the joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come before God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. I hope that will be your life today, that you will seek the Lord, not just today, but every day. That you will get up and recognize the goodness of God and call upon his name. That you would strengthen your relationship with him and your fellowship with him on a daily basis, morning, noon, and night, or whatever time it is, to seek the Lord and recognize how good he is. Let me remind you that all this starts with a prayer to the Father above, who came to earth, who died on the cross, who provided forgiveness of our sins. And that simple prayer of belief, calling on the name of the Lord, will change your life. It will save your soul. Again, the Bible says in this, in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let that be today. And why not make that public as we begin to sing in a minute and walk down the aisle and say, Brother Paul, I've accepted Jesus. I've called his name. What next? Man, what a good day it'll be. For others of you, maybe you've done that. You're a believer, but your prayer life is not what it should be. Your prayer life is lacking. You've gotten busy. You've gotten to a point where you no longer try to pray as you should. Why not this morning commit to doing that? For the next week, commit to praying daily. For the next week, commit to praying earnestly and fervently, seeking the Lord. Give it a week and see what happened in your life. Yes, the enemy may come against you, but I'm telling you, prayer unlocks great things in your life so that you know that God is able and willing to do great things. I wonder, will you seek the Lord today? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes in a moment of prayer. looking from the outside, I cannot tell anything about you spiritually. And I don't have to. But the Lord can see all things and know all things, and you can see that in yourself. So if this morning, if your life's not a life of prayer, why not commit to that? Maybe right where you sit at, say, Lord, help me connect. Help me be a personal prayer. Help me seek you daily. Help me, Lord, to be found faithful in that matter. Get that primary thing first, prayer, and see how it affects the rest of your spiritual life. So maybe today you need help with that. If you walk down this altar and pray, I promise you others will pray for you. Maybe, again, it's a prayer of salvation, and God's calling you to be saved today. Why not trust him and say a prayer that goes like this? Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. Come to my life and save me. Let me live for you. That prayer is not magical, but it connects to the one who has all power and authority, who has all mercy and grace, and is willing to forgive for those that call upon him. Whatever your need is today, don't leave without doing what God's called you to do. Let's be a people of prayer. Father, again, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. We thank you that you're a mighty God that loves us and cares for us and wants to have fellowship with us. And so, Lord, today we pray. We seek your face. We ask that you do mighty things. Bring great conviction on all of our lives. Let us be found faithful when it comes to this life of prayer. Bless the invitation. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.